Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to begin here. Title of the message, the vital importance of a church. I'm not going to go into what is the Lord's ecclesia, the Lord's church. The word ecclesia is the Greek word that just means assembly, a called out assembly. You know, it was a word that existed that would deal with political assemblies, it could deal with public assemblies, and the Lord in his great wisdom said that's what his kind of institution would be. It would be an assembly, people that assemble together to serve him. Vital importance. I want to show you this when he's talking this. I believe that he had already established his church when Matthew 16 gets here. And so, just so you know, I believe that Jesus Christ established that first church at Jerusalem during his earthly ministry. It was empowered at Pentecost, not started at Pentecost. And so I want you to just to see, let's just begin with verse 13. And when Jesus came, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Verse 15, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." This is super important, right? It's this. When you understand spiritual truth, it's the goodness, it's the grace of God that has revealed that to you, and we better not get all puffed up about ourselves. It was Peter understood some truth. He understood that Christ was the Son of the living God. Christ was the hope of the world. Christ was Peter's personal hope in order to avoid what he deserved, and that was eternal separation from God in a place called the lake of fire. But look at verse 17 again. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter." Remember, Jesus called him Cephas early on. It means small stone, pebble. "Thou art Peter. And upon this rock," Petra. Here's what I believe Jesus was saying. "Thou art Peter. And upon this rock." You're talking, Jesus was speaking about himself. The church. That first church was built upon Christ. Hope Baptist Church isn't built upon a pastor. Hope Baptist Church isn't built upon anyone but Christ. Christ is our foundation. Christ is our head. Christ is our ruler. And he gives us the scriptures to help us. But he says this, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church." And people say, well, he says future tense, "I will build my church." So that means it couldn't exist. That's not true. If I say I want to build a church for the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know if it exists or not, do you? We're still about building a work of God, right? And so he said, "I will build my church." He's going to take it from its infancy and he will build a great institution. He said, verse 18, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now this is interesting. I'll just read verse 19. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." This is to his church. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I don't believe a church has authority over a soul's eternal destiny, but the Lord has given incredible authority to his churches. But before I get into this, and I've got five thoughts after I do an introduction, I just tell you this so you can count. Right? There's going to be five big bullets. So you guys can go, I want you to learn a little math. So once I'm done with two, that means I'm 40% through, 60, 80, and the fifth might be 70% of my message, but I just want you to be encouraged no matter what. And so there's five thoughts I have this morning, but I want you to understand this. I'm going to talk about the importance. God established his churches for believers. I'm going to lay out five things why he established his churches. But I don't want you to get confused. This is not about church attendance. This is not about you coming and sitting in a church, because you can come to church the rest of your life and that's not going to get you to heaven. You can sit in the garage all day long and it won't make you a car. Okay? I want you to understand this. Before you misunderstand my message, the question for you is, are you a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ? Other ways to say that, are you born again? What evidence is there that you're born again? This message is for believers. This message isn't to promote Hope Baptist Church. I'm not interested in promoting Hope Baptist Church. If only, I know that sounds so weird, I'm not. If God doesn't want Hope Baptist Church to exist, I'm okay with that because I want what He wants. But I pray by His mercy and by His grace, He might use us that we might reach Fairfield, we might reach Hamilton, we might reach your neighbors, we might reach your loved ones, we might reach your family for the glory of Christ, not for the glory of Hope Baptist Church. It's for Christ, but I ask you this, are you born again? Are you saved? You can really, because the way I'm going to preach this message, you're going to be like, God, I hope this one, I just believe this. You'll be like, I need to be part of a church. No, what you need to make sure first is that you're truly a born again Christian. Don't get the cart ahead of the horse. America's full of people going to church that are going straight to hell. They got the church attendance thing down, but they don't have the heart thing down. I want you to understand that. I'm here because the Lord Jesus Christ established His church, that first church at Jerusalem, and He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. His kind of church would never go out of existence. Does that church at Jerusalem still exist? No. But do His kind of churches exist? You better believe it. I'm here to promote Christ. I'm here to exalt Christ. He doesn't need me to do that. It's my privilege. It's my joy. It's a great honor that we get to promote Him. But I want to ask you this. Are you truly saved? Are you truly born again? Because that's really what matters. And here's what it is. You must understand this, that you, there's not one good thing about you. This is not about you. I love this. Dariana is just shaking her head. There's not one good thing about you, you know? And so I'll tell you a little story, right? So Dariana, I tried this. I don't think I've said this publicly, right? So Julia and Dariana, you know, I told Julia, Dariana, the first time she came here, I looked at Julia. Remember that? Julia remembers this. I said, I took Dariana, I said, Julia's going to have a Bible study with you. I think it was a lunch day, right? And so Dariana was busy and Julia came back to me. If a woman could ever grab you by the lapels and shake you, she didn't, but she wanted to. And she, what did you do? I said, you're going to have a Bible study with Dariana. She said, I am not ready. I said, you're ready. Ready or not, here you come. And so I agreed then. I was leaving for South Africa in about 4 or 5 weeks. And I said, okay, I'll do a Bible study with you too. I never meet with a woman by myself, but you know, if there's a couple ladies, I'll meet. And so we met and had a Bible study. First Bible study, I tried a new technique. And so, man, I pounded on sin. I pounded on sin. I pounded on sin. I pounded on sin. And I said, okay, we're done. Hour and a half. I mean, and Dariana heard things like, I said, you're wicked. Those are strong, but that's what we are, folks. You got to understand that. You're like, no, that's not, no, that's us. And I said, I haven't told you how you can go to heaven. And I said, when I pray and close in prayer, I'm going to pray that God allows you to live until we meet again. Because if you die on the way home tonight, you're going to hell. She said, worst week of her life, right? She never told me that later. So, you know, by God's grace, He saved her in spite of me, right? So then Darius, her brother, she gets saved and she's, I'm going to bring my brother. And so I start meeting with her brother. And so she brought her brother the first time. And so I took Darius down the same path. What I loved about Dariana, she could feel us. I was going with him. He said, tell him about that 3:16 verse. Tell him about that 3:16 verse. She didn't remember it was John 3:16. Because she's like, don't do what you did to me. Don't do that to my brother. And so it's good. I love that Dariana got it and Darius got it, that there's not one good thing about us. But boy, does that just really make God's love look even more amazing. You see, if you think you're good, God's love is just kind of, it's cool, man, cool, got it. But if you understand this, that you deserve eternal damnation. Those are strong words. That's Bible words. And then there's a God that He's the one you've sinned against. He's the one I've sinned against. He's the one that I've offended. He's the one that I've violated. He's the one that 2,000 years ago sent his son that he would die for me, he would die for you. That's love. You didn't deserve it. That's why it's called grace. It's undeserved kindness by the Lord. I want you to understand this. Many people in church, in Baptist churches, they've got the Baptist thing down, but their hearts, they're not saved. Before you get the church thing down, and it's a big deal, it's a big deal. If you want to have a useful, God-honoring life for the Lord, it's through His churches. That's His plan. But before that even comes to your mind, are you born again? I love this. Toby, where's Toby? Toby, you've had an impact on people. I love that. Toby, you're 8 years old today, right? Happy birthday. Man, what a day. You're getting baptized and got family here. Man, thank you for coming. You honored him. And it's a big deal. Toby, you've encouraged other children that have been nervous to do what's right. Daniel, I'm going to share Daniel's testimony, right? Daniel, you're 57? You don't look a day over 58. And so, I asked Daniel, you know, Daniel's been saved many, many years. And I said, Daniel, why hadn't you ever followed the Lord in baptism? You don't need to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't need to be baptized to go to heaven. He said, I'm just shy. He is shy. He wanted me to call him out this morning because I'm going to help your shyness. You're going to get over it. And but you just got to get to know Daniel and his wife, Jeanette. It's just good. It's just good, right? But here's what he told me. So I talked to him last week, you know, and I thought it was a language barrier that, but he's just never been baptized. So I asked him yesterday, and he told me I was just shy. But when we first talked about it last Sunday before I preached, I said, well, we'll schedule it. And he was like, yeah, he's probably thinking, you know, 2029 or something like that. Toby, he said, when he saw you, just have the courage. He said, well, I'm going to get baptized the same day as that young boy. You encouraged him. You know, you encouraged him. And so, Daniel, I'll tell you this. It's a big deal to be part of a church. That's not going to get you to heaven. But boy, it's God's plan that we would be part of a church. And that just doesn't mean part of the membership role. That doesn't mean you're just taking up a spot in a seat. That means you're going to be active. That means you're going to be serving. And you want to find out, how can I honor Christ? And so Daniel's incredibly skilled. I found all this out yesterday. Zach, be encouraged. And I do have some more things for you to know. I'm just kidding. But Daniel can just about do anything. He welds. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and on. And I gave him the Zach speech. I said, now, Daniel, you know, because I tell people, use what you're good at, right? And I said, I'm sure there'll be things for us to do. I got a list. But I told him this. I said, welding doesn't replace you pursuing souls. That's what I want you to do. I want you to ask God to give you the courage because you want to see other people just know the Christ that you know. And He'll take your personality, you're far nicer than me, and He'll use you for His honor and His glory. And that'll be a thrill of a lifetime. You know, they got two sons. They don't have grandkids yet. Have a spiritual baby. Have a spiritual baby. I'm telling you, it rivals that. I tell you all this. I haven't even begun my message yet. Are you saved? Do not get caught up in the weeds of a church before you make sure you understand this. Is Jesus Christ the one that you love? The one that if you could, when you're thinking right, and we're not always thinking right, but when we're thinking right, all I want to do is honor Christ. Nothing else matters. If when we're thinking right, is have you truly turned from your sin? Have you truly repented and trusted Christ? And I know this, then that our flesh and this world is against us, but do you want to do what's right? Are you truly born again? Then this message is for you. If you're not saved, be honest with yourself. And you can say, I think Christianity's kooky. Okay, I'd love to study the Bible with you and let's identify what's kooky about it. And I'm serious. You point it out to me and I'm interested. But I ask you this, are you born again? Now, I'm going to give you an overall, I got a whole bunch for you today, but overall, I'm going to give you a statement A church is God's plan for the Christian. This is Steve Hall's summary. A church is God's plan for the Christian. Live for Christ in one of his churches for his glory and our good. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. He established his church. It's a plan for Christ. Now you're going to see, I've got five things, and so it's the hope of the world, just in case you were wondering. But churches and generally church services, the assembling, it's an assembling of believers. Though I'm thankful that we have lost people that will visit us, and then we have lost people that will keep attending, and I want them to attend. I want them to hear about Christ. But I'll tell you, the church services are for the sheep, are for those that are in Christ, for those that are believers. And then I would suggest it's really for the collective membership that has said, we've committed together. Let's get our eyes back on Christ and do his work. Church was established for his glory, but our good. Okay? Three things I just want to show you. God sent the Holy Spirit on a special mission to come alongside his churches. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, it was the Holy Spirit has been sent specially to empower, to protect, to strengthen the Lord's churches. And there are blessings and there are benefits. And so it was that big a deal that the Lord said, I'm going to send the Comforter. You know him. He dwells in you, but he's going to come alongside you and help you because I'm leaving, but I'm sending him specially. Second, there's special protection. I mentioned this, special protection. And I think that's all because of the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't mean if you're on the membership roll. I'm just telling you, it's what it means is if you're truly a member of the Lord's, one of the Lord's churches, you're going to have protection because when you're removed from it, the Bible says that Satan gets more access to your flesh. Third, there is unique authority given to the Lord's churches. I'm not the boss here. I'm not the boss. And I know I may carry myself that way. I am here to lead. Joe, you're actually, this side note, I'm just having a conversation with Joe because he caught my eye. You're teaching or preaching this Friday night or the March 13th? 13th, yeah. I asked Joe to preach one time when I was out of town, and what did you tell me? No, he said no. No, don't pontificate on that, Joe. And so I can't wait till I'm gone here soon. Joe's going to be preaching right here. I'm just teasing. Anyway, that was a freebie. But I'm not the big boss here. Yeah, I want to help you. And I know people go, you know, you're intimidating. And I'll go, not trying to necessarily be, but I'll tell you this. I want to help you. And I know there's somebody that will bully you, and that's called the devil. And I want to help you. I'm not, the Lord's not after your destruction. He's after your good. And I'm trying to read his word, and I want to help you. The devil wants to chew you up and spit you out, and I want to help you. And I know I'm a little bit out there, right? I'm like, raw, right? And so, but you don't have to be that way. I need to take a chill pill every once in a while. I get it. But just know this. I care for you. I want you to know Christ, and I want you to enjoy him. And I'll tell you this, what will destroy you is sin. And if I grab you, and I use this terminology too much, everybody thinks, they'll think, this guy, he's too physical. I want to help you know Christ. His ways are best. Well, let me tell you, I got five thoughts, so here we are. Now you can start your clock. One of God's primary instruments, his church, the reason he established his churches is one of God's primary instruments for his eternal glory. He established his churches, and he established that first church at Jerusalem. It's one of the primary instruments for his eternal glory. Let me show you some scriptures here. Ephesians 3:21. Unto him, unto Christ, unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I'll get back to that. God established his kind of church so that he would receive glory. It's his plan. He never intended it to be freelance Christianity. Oh, I want to tell you this. If you're a Christian, are you a committed member of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a big deal. It's not what's going to get you to heaven, but you're going to see my second point, and some of you are going to go, oh, he's a heretic, right? But he established his churches for his glory, and you want to glorify the Lord, I will tell you, it's through one of his churches. It's not Steve Hall Ministries. And I'm not saying if you have Steve Hall Ministries that you're in sin. I'm just telling you this. If I have Steve Hall Ministries, let's say I do something and you guys approve it, it needs to be under the authority of a church. That's what I believe. I don't believe I believe everything I need to do should be under the authority of a church. I just believe that. I think I could prove that. It's safe for me. It's good for me that I'm just not out there and just, you know, nilly-willy doing my own thing. And so, Ephesians chapter 5, look at this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You understand this. The bride of Christ is his church, the institution. His church is. Okay? Just know that. That's consistent with Scripture. I don't even have to go into the detail, but he uses this analogy of a husband and wife, and he uses that Christ loved the church as his bride. The Bible calls it his bride. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's not, that's not exclusive, that's inclusive. Christ died specially for his churches. He died for all the world, but he specially has care. Look at this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That, love that word, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. What? Sanctify and cleanse his church with the washing of water by the word. That would be God's word, the preaching, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I want you to understand this. God wants us to be holy and without blemish. Not holier than now, but that we would walk with him for his honor and his glory, and that we'd be quick to say I'm sorry, quick to say I'm wrong, be quick to reconcile, because it's all about Christ. There's nothing that should get in the way of our love and fellowship for one another, because Christ is worthy. Because his churches were designed to bring glory to him. Second thought I want to show you is God's plan to save our lives from waste. Okay, I want to show you a verse. 1 Peter 3:21. It says, the like figure, that would be the picture, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now, oh, you're like, it says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. I've seen this because, you know, there are different churches. So, you know, I will call out people that preach a false gospel. Church of Christ, false gospel. Christian church, false gospel. Disciple of Christ, false gospel. All of them are connected. They all teach baptismal regeneration. They all teach that you got to be baptized to be saved. Anybody that teaches you got to be baptized to be saved, that's a false gospel, that's a false hope, and it'll damn their soul to hell. Because when I ask people, are you sure you're going to heaven? They'll say, I was baptized. It's not what I asked. Baptism doesn't give eternal life, but every time the Bible says the word save, it's not talking about eternally. So I want to show you this. Bible actually explains this. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Then look at the parentheses. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh. See, that would be eternal salvation, where God removes our sin when we have faith in Christ, and he puts his righteousness in us. He says, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. What you're doing today, Daniel, is an answer of a good conscience toward God. Daniel told me this. He said, it's always bothered me. Right? You know what I love? I love about your spirit. You're like, I wish I had. But I'm pointing you out because there's a bunch of Daniels here. Not with that name. Let me start naming them. No, I'm just, and you know what? I will tell you this. You nervous right now? No, that's good. It will be a joy, and there'll be a little bit of relief, won't there? I've done something you knew you'd done for a long time. Not what's going to get you heaven, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. You know, and it says, so if you just read without the parentheses, sometimes the like figure went to baptism does also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? We're going to see that pictured in baptism. How does baptism save you? Remember I said this, the heading was, it saves our life from waste. And again, I'll tell you this. You show me somebody that doesn't have a church home, not committed, and they tell me they're a Christian, I'll show you somebody that's going to struggle. You know what helps me? And the word save just means what rescues me. And it's not just because I'm a pastor. I've only been a pastor for these 13 years, 14 if you go back when we were just a mission work. And so, but what saves my life is being part of God's plan, part of one of his churches, and it keeps me accountable. And I want to tell you this, it is daunting to be a pastor. I love every minute of it, but I'll answer for it as well. What'll save my life from waste, what'll rescue my life, is being part of a church. And you know what? I am the most spoiled pastor in all of America. I talk to a bunch of pastors, and what they tell me, I've never experienced here. It is good to serve with you. I need accountability. I need help. Everything I do is not right. My spirit's not always right. What I say is not always right. And I need your help. Why? Because the honor of Christ is at stake. I never want it to be, you know, if there's something that has just been burdening you for weeks and months, come talk to me. Come talk to me. You're probably right. I want to make it right because the honor of Christ matters. I am not to be some independent guy that you just say, shut up, Kevin. Don't you ever challenge me ever again. If I ever say that, you know something's wrong with me, right? You say, you just better never say that to Glow. And if I ever have that spirit, that's wrong. You understand this? Let's say you're wrong. You have some, you know, burr up your saddle. You know, just say this. It's this. It doesn't matter. Let's work it out. Let's figure it out. Let's get along. It's a big deal, right? It's a big deal. Because I'm telling you this, if you're sitting there going, dang it, you're going to struggle listening to me. Because you're like, if only they knew what he did to me. We got to make it right. Follow me? I'm telling you this. It's being part of a church that you're committed to and that you will serve. We start outreach a week from Wednesday. And I love this. You know what I tell you to do if you're part of this church and you're not involved in master clubs? You should be there. You know why? Because the church said, we're going to do this, you should be there. Get over how you feel. You know, when you tell your kids, do this, and if they say, I don't feel like it, you're like, well, that's fine. When you feel like it, go ahead and take the garbage out. When God commands us to do something, it's because it's for our good. He says, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. And our church happens to use, you know what I love? I know there are people that you come out of just submission to God and His plan, and God loves that. And then ask the Lord to work on your heart. I have to ask the Lord to work on my heart. I want to tell you, one of the harder things I do, this is just me, it's going door knocking. But I love this. I've seen God save people. I've seen God rescue people. Randall and Rachel met Glow and Kevin. And at a church. Sounds like they wronged you. But I'm telling you this, you know this. Let's just say this. Let's just say one day you're like, Steve's worse than anybody. Or Hope Baptist Church is bad. You might have to leave Hope Baptist Church. But I'll tell you this, you need to find a church of the Lord Jesus Christ and you need to serve Him, right? No 2.5 year hiatus. How's that 2.5 years go? Not too well, right? And I know you're like, it ain't perfect now either, Steve. But I'll tell you this, is it better now? It's not because we're so great, it's because God's plan, right? It's God's plan. And we get hurt, don't we? We get hurt. And some of the stories you've told me, I'm like, eh. You know, but it's like, don't give up on God's plan, okay? We need a people. We need an assembly. We need a church to honor Christ. I'm preaching this, it's 13-year anniversary. I just tell you this, if you're not here, and God's given us 10 more years, you should be in another church that preaches the true gospel where you have to submit to and serve and love Christ. Third thing I want you to see, it's God's plan for fellowship and accountability. We need each other. It's so fascinating, right? We men, we talk less. We talk less. Well, I mean, okay, not me, but the average man, I make up for it. So on average, we talk way less. And so my poor wife, I talk more than her. And way more than her, right? And so I'm talking in generalities, right? When I say women talk more than men, you're like, not me. But in general, but I'll tell you this, men need fellowship. And that's going to happen with other men. Not in a weird way. But we need fellowship, and we need, you know, the popular word today is community. We need accountability, and the Lord's church and His churches are His plan. Let's just look at a few verses, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That means build one another up, encourage one another, even as also you do. We are here to help and encourage one another and love one another. The Bible says this, only verse about church attendance. Because if you're a true believer, you will assemble yourselves together. I hear this all the time. Well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's absolutely right. But why don't you want to go? You should work as though as though your life depends on it to find a church home if you're a Christian. You know why people like the big churches? Because you can go once a month and nobody will notice. I know every single visitor here. I may not know your name, but I know they're new. How do you know that? Well, there's only 10 of them here today. And welcome. Welcome, welcome. No, I'm not going to point them all out. But I'm just telling you, the accountability is good, but he says this in Hebrews 10. He says, I'm not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, or don't be. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is throughout all history. A lot of people just say, I'm not going. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what? He's saying this. Encourage one another, because the night cometh when no man can work. We're closer to the return of Christ, and you know what we need to do? We need to get with it. You think you've got time to miss assembling with God's people, to be challenged, to be encouraged, and saying, what are you doing? Are you on in Christ? It's getting closer. No matter what, we're closer to the return of Christ than we've ever been. 5 minutes, and we'll be 5 minutes closer 5 minutes from now. But we all just think, you know what? Thank you, my friend. I had a little chicken, but I got to run. It's okay. Doesn't make you a bad person. It just means this. You think we got time. And you got better things to do. And you need to fellowship with one another. Whoever the most shy person is, mingle. Mingle. Get out of your seat. Mingle. If you tell me, say, I struggle, I'll help you. I'll say, hey, I'll introduce you. You need to get to love the brethren. It's part of God's plan, fellowship and accountability. I want to show you a few other verses. This is a long passage. I'm knowing time, I wouldn't have included this, but this is the first church at Jerusalem. God blessed greatly. 3,000 souls were saved just prior to this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, important to know the truth, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. These people were eating together, fellowship together, praying together. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. This is meant to be done together, and had things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. You should sell everything and give it to Hope Baptist Church. That's not what it's saying. They have such a spirit in this first church that they did this. They didn't have to do this. This isn't communism. That's what people say. This wasn't forced. This was from their heart. They said, all we care about. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. And as every man had need, we don't have to do that, but does this show kind of man? They were the fellowship. And they continue in daily with one accord. Man, their hearts were in line in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily such as should be saved. You see the process? We get along, we fellowship, we enjoy one another, and then God will do a great work. If we're not getting along and we don't like each other, we don't love each other, and we're not fellowshipping together, and we're not enjoying one another, that we ought not to be inward. We have fellowship and accountability so that we might be outwardly useful for the kingdom. God's plan is that we would have fellowship one with another. I've got one more verse, 1 Corinthians 12. It says that there should be no schism in the body. Every true church of the Lord is an independent body of Christ. It's an independent, autonomous. No one rules over them. The one that rules our church is Jesus Christ. And we make decisions as a congregation. He says that there should be no schism in the body, because you want division in a church, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We are blessed with technology. I love the ladies' prayer list, and it's just good to watch, and I jump in there every once in a while just to read it and watch the ladies care and love one another. It's good. It's good there's an outlet. I love this. You know, Sandra Dittman just stressed about her medicines, and we need to take that to the Lord, right? and prayers. We need each other. I'm telling you, this is not a membership drive for Hope Baptist Church. Let me just help you with this. I am probably not interested in you joining our church. People that are here for a while realize that. I'm then responsible for you. I don't want you to join our church unless you're really ready to serve the Lord, okay? So it's not a membership drive. But I'll tell you this, you need to honor Christ, and you need to have your membership somewhere in one of the Lord's churches. Not about Steve, it's about God. I'm just telling you, I'd prefer being responsible for less. Like, who says that? I do. But I'll love it if God joins you here. You follow me? I'll delight in it. Let it be God, not this message. But maybe God will use this message to work on you. Don't let it be Steve. Don't feel bullied. I just want you to know this. I want to honor Christ. And if this is where God wants you, so be it. We'll be thrilled. Not a membership drive. This is to tell you this. If you understood God's plan, there's no better way than to be part of his churches, one of his churches. I just want to ask you this. Don't do it fake. I'm going to say hearty amen, but I want to ask people, I'm going to ask for an amen here in just a second. I'm not going to criticize it. People that you've been part of a church and you understand that, do you agree that a church is a critical, vital element for our walk with Christ? Would you agree? Amen? It's a big deal. Not Hope Baptist Church, but God's ways. You follow me? This is not me promoting Hope Baptist Church. This is me telling you this. No matter what, people move all the time. We got people that were here and they're faithful. And I mean, you know, I could call every room here the Will Peters room. Will Peters lives in Arkansas now. And so, you know, we're going to call it the Zach Souder parking lot. And Zach's like, I'm moving to Arkansas. It'll be easier. It'll be easier. But, you know, it's but you move somewhere. Let me just say this. I wish I'd done this. Worked in the corporate world. It's what I tell everybody. Don't you dare agree to a transfer until you know you have a church home before you move. It's that big a deal. I didn't understand that, man. We labored. It was before the internet. I know, before the internet. So when we rode up on our horse to go to church, before the internet, and we visited over 40 Baptist churches in Lima, Ohio. And it was painful. God blessed, and we found a church, and we loved it. But I will tell you this, it's that big a deal. It's that big a deal. I'm going to challenge it. I'm going to say this little, there's nothing in conflict with what I'm saying. You're going to think so. I want to tell you this, God didn't say he's going to receive glory in the family for eternity. He's going to receive glory in his church for eternity. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says. That's not me telling you your family's not important. Your family is critical in you. But I'll tell you this, I'm not sure. I'm getting in trouble here. Jesus is number one. I think his church is number two and your family's number three. Study the Bible, challenge me. I don't think they're in conflict though, so don't have a conniption with me. Just studying the Bible. I'm like, glory in the family. Because guess what? My wife's not going to be my wife in heaven. My kids aren't going to be my kids in heaven. But my church, I think, is still. There's something about it. Paul thought he was going to be able to present the church at Corinth to Christ. I don't know. I'm not making up. I'm just telling you, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I got two more thoughts. It's God's plan for participating in the ordinances. What I mean by the ordinances, there's two orders that God gave his churches. It's to baptize, and it's to administer the Lord's Supper. We hold to what's called closed communion. The only way you can participate in the Lord's Supper is you have to be a member of this church. I really believe that's scriptural. I really believe it's what's happening today, where you can go to almost any Baptist church, and they'll let you take the Lord's Supper as long as you say you're a Christian. I think that taints it and it diminishes it. Let me just tell you this. It's special and it's glorious and it's intended for his churches, and membership is required at Hope Baptist Church for you to participate. That's not us being snot-nosed. That's us just saying, I believe that's what Scripture would require, is you join and commit and serve the Lord and you're a member here, you gloriously get to partake. It's a privilege
It's an honor, and it is special, and it's good. And so I tell you this, I'll just take you. So it's God's plan for participating in the ordinances, right? And 1 Corinthians 11 talks about the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After this, the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.'" This was commanded to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a specific people that had covenanted together, committed together to serve the Lord. When Jesus had that first table, the Lord's table, that night, it was with the apostles, who were the first members of the first church. I believe the Lord's Supper was only intended for churches just like this. To participate, you have to be a member. It's not to be snotty-nosed about it. It's because of the honor of Christ. You follow me? You want to partake in the Lord's Supper. If you're a Christian, you should want to. You can't hear unless you're a member. But you can just go floaty-woaty. You know, you can go to just any old church kind of today and just like, "Oh, you're taking the Lord's Supper? I will too." And you've lost the glory, the beauty, and the accountability. So now we just have freelance ordinances. I think most people know this, that only churches have the authority to baptize, not preachers. I ask people all the time, "Do I have the authority to baptize?" Most people say, "Yes, you do." I go, "I do not." It's churches that have the authority. I was telling this guy one time, I go, this is many years ago, it's before I was a pastor, I go, "Nobody would think it'd be okay if you baptized somebody." He goes, "I baptize my son in our bathtub." And I go, "Well, there's one born every day." And so he thought, you know, "I can just baptize my son." Oh, you can immerse your son in your bathtub, but that's not scriptural, because it's not the authority that God has given his churches. It's his churches. And then the final thought here, it's his plan to reach the world. God's plan to reach the world is through churches. And churches are made up of individual Christians that have been born again, and they follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, and but I want you to know this, his plan is that we would reach the world and plant churches throughout the world that would then preach the gospel. And he says, "Go, go, go." Don't invite them in. He doesn't say don't invite them in. He doesn't encourage us to invite them in. He says, "You go." See, this is sort of a pep rally that says, "Are you ready? Are you ready? We can do it." And if you're doing it on your own, you will quit. Right? Let me tell you, if we didn't have corporate outreach, we would probably be less focused on evangelism, because it's not that's just an hour. But it'll stir your heart that for the other 175 hours in the week, are there 176 hours in the week, am I right? Do I remember that right? Okay, don't calculate. Well, however many hours are left in the week. When you go and you see the plight of men and women and children, it'll stir your heart that every hour that you're out there, you will be evangelistic. I praise the Lord this morning, this young man that I've been trying to reach at Thornton's forever. And I said, "How you doing?" And he goes, "Terrible." I said, "I have a God that's really good at terrible." And he goes, "I don't even have a car right now." He said, "I'm Ubering to work, $30 each way." I said, "What time you get off Monday?" He said, 4:00. I said, "I'll take you home, but we're going to have a 90-minute interlude. I'm going to take you to church. It's just down here at Thornton's. We're going to study the Bible. I'm not here to fix your problems. I'm here to help you understand this. There's one person that's worthy of you to believe and submit to, and your life's a mess. It's Christ." So I'm picking him up Monday. We're going to have a Bible study. And he's captive, because I'll be like, "I'm not taking you home if you end this right now." No, I won't say that. Probably won't say that. But now that it's in my mind, I could. I shouldn't. Okay, just so you know, God's plan is to reach the world through churches. We share the gospel with them. I just tell you this is called the Great Commission. This is what churches are committed to do. Jesus, the 11 disciples, went away into Galilee in the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's given this authority to his churches. He says, now go! Go! And teach all nations. That would be the lost. Something happens, they get saved. We're not commanded to save them. We can't. God does. We teach them. God saves them. They follow the Lord in baptism. They join a church. That's the means by which you join a church. And then we teach them all things. We disciple them. Teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You know how I know this is to his churches? The apostles are dead. And Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He'll be with his churches. He'll be with his kind of church until the end of time. So I want to just go back to this. These are my five thoughts that I had this morning. This is why it's glorious plan. If you're a believer this morning, this is not a push for you to get part of Hope Baptist Church. This is saying this. You better make it priority one that says this. I know I'm a Christian. I know Jesus has saved me. I need to be part of a church. It's a big deal. You want to honor Christ? Do it his way. Most Christians, you're Burger King Christians. Have it your way. Right? Just came to me, right? That was that felt good. But that motto's probably so old that, have you ever heard that cue? Have you ever heard Burger King, have it your way? Oh, you have. Oh, my heart be still. I feel good. Was that you were doing some retro review on YouTube or something? But you know, have it your way. You know what God says? Have it my way. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. If he did it his way, he's in hell. We need to do it God's way. There's only one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm telling you this. I believe it with all my heart. Don't leave stubborn. Leave determined. You can say, I would never be part of Hope Baptist Church. With that spirit, we're glad. We want to help people. We want to help people. You wonder why your life hasn't been what you hoped it would be? You try to do it your way, it's not going to work out. The Lord's churches, they were established so that we'd reach the world and that Christians might be helped. Again, I tell you this. It's not just getting your membership taken care of. It's a commitment to God's way and to serve him. And I believe it's through one of his churches. It's a joy. We've been here 13 years. It would be a dream of mine that this church would exist until Jesus comes. That may be very soon. But you see, he didn't promise that every church would exist. He promised that his kind of church would. Are you obeying God? Have you truly honored him? Or are you doing it your way? Let's pray.